ignite in each one of our hearts the necessity for us to be missionaries here locally. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Schultz.
All right, good morning. It is great to be able to be here with you today. The Lord gave us a beautiful day to be in church. And I'll tell you what, my daughters are not happy. Because, you know, we've been in Zambia for so long, and I've told them about all of our winters here in Illinois, because I was born in Danville, grew up in Decatur, and I've been telling them about, you know, snow drifts and snow 3 feet deep, and they've been looking forward to it, and so far this year they've gotten 3 inches. And they've been so looking forward to making a snowman, and so when we got our 3 inches, they went out, and the snowman was like this tall. So they're really starting to doubt if my stories were true. But I tell them no, because it's amazing, whenever we come home on furlough, we have a very mild winter, it's beautiful. I mean, I think this weather's beautiful, I think it's great. But they get so upset, because then the year we go back to Zambia, the next year, it's a massive snowstorm, and they're reading about it in the news, and they're like, ah, it's not fair. It's just not fair. But I'm very happy to be here, and I'm very happy to be able to be in Illinois. Love this part of the country, and I love being here and testifying about what the Lord is doing in Zambia. Your church has been a part of our ministry in Zambia since 1997. That's a long time. The Lord has been blessing us there. And we're very happy to have been able to be partners with you there for a long time. This morning I have my wife Jill with me. She's over here, the pretty lady over on my right. And so she's with me this morning. My daughters are in Decatur, though. They're going to Central Baptist Church, which is our sending church. And they're there this morning. And it's a very exciting time to be back in the United States. Our daughters are 15, 16, and 18, and all three of them are in driver's ed right now. Yes, that's right. And starting tomorrow, they start on the road driver's ed. So it's a good thing you're in Taylorville, not in Decatur. You're still safe for a while. But it has been very exciting trying to teach them to drive and getting them on the road. But they are there today. Out in the foyer, you've seen the missionary displays. We really want you to go by and visit both of them. For us and for the Wormleys, but at our display, you'll find some things. We want you to take one of our new prayer cards. They look like this. On the back is all of our contact information and all of that, and so make sure that you get one of those. There's other things on the table. I'll talk about it during the morning service, but please get that. Pray for us. We need your prayers. Now, I have an offer for you this morning. Since you have been long-standing supporters for so long, you might have a prayer card that looks like this at home, or maybe like this, or even like this. This is our oldest one. This, you might say, is our rookie card. If you have one of these at home, if you'll bring it tonight or anytime during the missions conference, then we have a gift from Zambia that we want to give to you. We always try to recognize people who've been praying for us for a long time. And so if you have one of our old prayer cards or an old prayer magnet, bring that in this evening or anytime during the conference, and we have a gift from Zambia that we want to give to you. We really appreciate your prayers for us. We really do. You guys have been very faithful to let us know not only that you are praying for us, but to contact us and to keep us informed of your prayers. And that means a lot. Sometimes you write a letter, you send it back to the United States, and you wonder, is anybody actually reading this? Is anybody hearing it? And your church has been very faithful to keep up with us in the prayer requests that we have and in praying for us. And so we're very excited about sharing with you throughout this week what the Lord is doing in Zambia and the ways that we can continue in our partnership in reaching the world for the Lord. In your Bibles this morning, if you'll open up to John chapter 6, John chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 1 through 14. Just a very brief Sunday school lesson this morning, John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. You know, when I was at Bible college, one of my teachers, he said, you need to start off each service with a joke. said, if there's a smile on the face, that's an open door to the heart, and your message will be remembered for much longer. So I took that to heart, and we did really well here on deputation and all that. But then we got over to Zambia, and Zambia was another problem, because they don't understand American jokes. I mean, you try to tell a group of black people a blonde joke, it just doesn't go over. They have no idea what you're talking about. And so it was difficult. And so I went up and I asked one of the Zambians who I was working with, I said, you've got to teach me a joke that I can use this Sunday in the service. And he said, oh, pastor, he said, I've got a great joke that you can tell. I said, okay. I said, tell it to me. So he did. And I'm like, okay, tell it to me again. And so he told it to me again. I said, no, you understand that a joke's supposed to be funny. He said, pastor, just tell this one on Sunday. Trust me. I said, okay. So Sunday morning, I got up, and I got ready to speak, and I told the joke, and here it is. There are these men sitting around the campfire one night. They've just finished their evening meal, and a dog walks up. He looks in the pot on the fire, and he looks at the men, and he goes, chapwa, which means it's finished, it's all gone. And everyone in the congregation just started laughing. I mean, seriously laughing. I preached, everything went fine. The next Sunday, I told the exact same joke. Thinking maybe it was a fluke, I don't know. But the men are sitting around the campfire. They've just finished eating. A dog walks up. He looks in the pot. He looks at the men and says, chapwa, it's finished. And again, everybody was laughing. Now, I'm not talking about a courtesy laugh that you might, you know, when pastor tells a dumb joke or something like that. I'm talking about these people were really laughing, almost falling off the benches. So after the service, I went up to this man. And I said, Edward, you've got to tell me what is so funny about this joke. And he looked at me with this look of incredulity on his face, and he said, pastor, dogs can't talk. And that was it. There's a lot of things that you need to get used to when you're on a foreign field. Many things that are different, many things that make perfectly good sense to them that we don't figure out. Things that make sense to us that they don't clue in on. And even after 20 years on the mission field, we're still finding things like that from time to time. And so it takes a lot of effort to be very patient and to take your time, because things that, you know, it takes a while to understand the way that a different culture thinks. Not that our way is right and their way is wrong or vice versa. It's just it's different. No one's wrong. It's just different. And so it's been a challenge, it's been interesting, and we have a lot of interesting things like that that have happened to us. I hope you found John chapter 6 in your Bibles this morning. I'm going to read for you verses 1 down through verse 14, and you just follow along in your Bible this morning as I read these. The Word of God says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, now you can tell a lot about a person by their name. I mean, obviously this disciple was very handsome, very well educated, you know, just top of the class. Anyway, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you very much today. And we thank you, dear God, for this opportunity to be here today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for giving us this beautiful place to meet, for giving us your word, for giving us your Holy Spirit, for giving us the gift of salvation. And Heavenly Father, while we're here this morning, Heavenly Father, help us to put out all other thoughts out of our mind. And Heavenly Father, may we feast on your word today. I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and guide us and show us things that perhaps we've not seen before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, the Bible tells us here that there was a large multitude of people. Over 5,000 people were here, because it says 5,000 men, but of course there were women and children as well. So, I mean, if you look at the congregation today, if we were to only count men, we'd only get maybe half of the congregation that's here today. And so this miracle that occurred, although it's documented as 5,000, it well might have been over 10,000 people that were fed that day. And that's really one of the miracles that we see here. Over 10,000 people were fed by Jesus on this day. Now, before we get too far into the message, I want to draw back our attention here to verse 5 and 6. You know, there's a lot of people who think that once they get saved, that the Christian life is going to be a breeze. That there's not going to be any difficulties, that everything is going to go your way. And you know what? If you turn on your television and you listen to some of the televangelists that are on television, they'll tell you that exact thing. That if you are right with God, your business is going to prosper, your family is going to be great, you're going to be blessed financially and all of these things. But we know that the Bible tells us that there's no such blessing like that for Christians. That the only thing that God promises us is that we'll suffer persecution. God's never promised us prosperity. The disciples never were prosperous. They never had their businesses overflowing with money. They didn't have grand houses to live in. Now, God blesses sometimes our hard work and our endeavors, but to think that just because we're Christians, God is going to give us riches and material things, that's a wrong way to look at it. Because problems come in the Christian life. There are trials that come. There are illnesses. There are job losses. There are disasters that come. And the comforting thing that we have in our life as Christians is right there in verse 6. Look at what happened. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And we need to remember that. Because when trials come in our life, the Lord knows how he's going to get us through it. He gives us an opportunity to make decisions. He gives us an opportunity to make choices. But before the trial ever came into our life, God himself knew how he was going to take us through it. You know, in my Bible reading, I've been reading through the book of Job. And Job is such a great example of this very thing, that nothing can happen to a Christian without God knowing about it. But beyond that, nothing can happen to a Christian without God giving his permission for that to come into our life. Do you realize that? Nothing happens to the Christian without God's express permission for it to happen. Losing your job, God gave his approval for that. An illness or a death in the family, God gave his approval for that. There's no occurrence that happens in the life of a Christian that catches God by surprise. We're surprised. We're shocked. We're filled with misunderstanding and questions, but that never happens to God. God allows these things into our life to make us stronger, to make us better Christians, and sometimes we don't even understand ourselves why God has allowed it in our life. But rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, when God allows a trial in our life, he has a purpose for it, and he knows how he's going to get us through that trial. He's already planned our way through. You know, when we have a trial come upon ourselves, if we can remember that, it makes the trial go so much more smoothly. When we realize God has a plan of how he's going to get us through it. It's then that we can react properly and lean back on him and go through this trial with his grace. The time that I get myself into more problems is when I react poorly. When I react emotionally and without thought. That's a problem for me. Instead of realizing that God has allowed this to come, when I dwell on myself, that's when I get myself into more problems. And so for myself, I try to remember that God allows these things to make me stronger, to make me more of a blessing to those around me, and that he has a plan to see us through. You know, in each one of the Gospels, we see the story about the 5,000 being fed. But in this passage here in John, this is the only place where we see the little lad. In all the other places, the disciples come up with the 5 small loaves and the 2 small fish. But this is the only place where you see the little lad. You know, this little boy had someone at home who loved him. Maybe his mom, maybe his grandmother, maybe an aunt. But someone packed him a lunch and set him out into the countryside that day to go out and hear Jesus teaching. And when it came time for a meal, no one else was prepared except for the little boy. And he had a nice little lunch for himself. And that was given to Andrew, and Andrew goes and gives that to the Lord, and he says, but what is this among so many? I mean, think about it. Almost 10,000 people. I'm not sure how many people are in Taylorville. How many people are in Taylorville? What's the population here? About 10,000? Can you imagine trying to feed everyone in Taylorville? I mean, even with the restaurants that you have here, could you do it? Not really. And then there's Jesus, and he's going to do it with five little buns and two small fish. But you know what? That's what our Lord does, is he does miracles. He takes something that is small, something that is insignificant, and he does great things with it. I stand before you today, been a missionary in Zambia for 20 years. There's nothing great about me. There's nothing special about me. I am not a super Christian. I have to work on my relationship with the Lord just like you do every day. I have to work on my relationship with my wife each and every day. I have to make myself get along with my teenagers and, you know, make sure that they survive to where they can get out of my house. I mean, I am a normal person just like you. I'm not a super Christian. But see, that's the thing. If I were great, then if I accomplish something for the Lord, it's because of my greatness. But I'm not great. I'm flawed. I'm a sinful human being. It just happens that I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I've given my life to him. Because, see, that's what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for someone who he can use greatly. He's not looking for someone who's great. He's looking for someone who's available. And when we make ourselves available to the Lord, he does something great through us. Because it's his power. It's his might. And that's the miracle of missions. I mean, you probably already know this, but Bill Gates does not give us one penny for missions. I don't know that we have any millionaires supporting us. What we have are churches just like Grace Baptist Church. People to whom $20 means something. People who live their life on a budget. And you give money to missions, and those missionaries go all around the world because of people like you. Not millionaires, not people who own huge corporations, people like you. Because when you give to missions, the Lord takes what you give and he multiplies it. And he does a miracle with it. And missionaries are able to go out from this church throughout the world and tell people about Jesus Christ. And that's a miracle that's done. He takes that and he multiplies it and he does something great with what we have. And that's what the Lord did with this little boy's lunch. Five little loaves, two small fish, and he came and presented to the Lord, and the Lord did something great. Did you see what the Bible said there in verse 12? It says, when they ate, they were filled. Filled. You know what that word means? Have you ever been to Old Country Buffet or Golden Corral, and you go and you eat and you eat and you eat? And then you go back to the buffet and you eat some more. And then you have to go to the dessert bar and you have some more. And you're sitting there and you're so full. And maybe your husband reaches in and undoes his top button. Yeah, I know how it is, yeah. And then the lady comes along and she's got the basket of the hot buttered rolls and she's walking along. And she says, would you like a roll? And you say, no, I can't take another thing. Just take them away. That is filled. So we're not talking about these 10,000 people getting a little crumb of bread and eating it. They ate until they were filled, to where they were sitting there thinking, how am I ever going to walk home tonight? They were filled. That's a miracle. And beyond that, the Bible says even above and beyond that, the disciples took up 12 baskets full of remnants. But here's the thing that I want you to see this morning. That little boy who gave his lunch to the Lord was one of the 10,000 who was filled. Now, there might have been people there that day who said, you know what? That lunch is for you. You need to take that. Your family gave that to you. You need to take care of yourself first. Now, honestly, I've had a 12-year-old boy in my house. Are five little buns and two little fish going to knock the hunger off of a 12-year-old boy? I've had a 12-year-old girl in my house. It's not even going to satisfy them. I mean, you ought to see them go through the pizza. There's no way. And so the little boy who gave his lunch, he was one of the 10,000 who was filled. If he had kept what he had for himself, he never would have been filled to that degree as when he ate what Jesus prepared. By giving what he had, he even received a blessing that was beyond what he would have had he kept the original thing. You know, that's the miracle that God does. There's so many things in the Bible that, honestly, we can't understand. I mean, start off with salvation. The Bible says that we are saved by grace, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of anything that we've done, or either we'd boast about it. That's what the Bible says. But does that make sense? I mean, honestly, it seems like the Catholic way of salvation would be the correct way, that you do more good things than bad things, so you get to go to heaven. That makes sense to us. But to say that all we have to do is trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and we get this great gift of salvation, our whole life we've been taught nothing is free. Our whole life we've experienced that nothing in this life is free. But there it is. By trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we have salvation. What does the Bible say? The Bible says if someone offends you, you forgive them. But what does our nature say? Someone pushes me, oh, I'm going to push them right back. You know, you want to see your nature? All you got to do is look at yourself when you drive, isn't it? I mean, we can be nice and Christian here in church and bless each other and all that, but you get out there on the road and someone cuts you off, that's when our human nature wants to rear its head, doesn't it? I mean, hey, I'm just like you. I could tell you some stories about my wife driving that would make the hair of your head stand up, but we won't do that because she's here. On another night, she won't be here. We'll tell all the stories, but for now, we won't. But honestly, so many things in the Bible, the Lord asks us to do something different than what is our nature. Think about the matter of tithing. You're all educated. How in the world can 90% of your income go further than 100%? We do math. That does not make sense. But the Word of God teaches us, and He's proven it again and again to us, that if we will honor Him with our tithe and give Him 10% of our income that is owed to Him, He'll make the 90% go further than the 100% would have gone. And that makes no sense at all. It makes no mathematical sense at all. But there it is. It's true. God does miracles when we put our faith and our trust in Him. And so we see from this little lad, he gave his lunch to the Lord, and the Lord did a miracle with it. And he was filled even greater than had he kept it for himself. And what did he give away? He gave away something that really wasn't his at all. Now, maybe he caught the little fish, but he probably didn't make the bread. It was his mom or his aunt or his grandmother or someone like that. And, you know, we think about this matter of missions and we think about our life here on this earth. And we get very possessive about the things that we have. We feel that we've done something with our life. We've achieved something. And it's true. People have worked very hard. Hardworking Americans, it's true. You've set aside, you've used your wisdom to build a business, you have something established, you have provided for yourself and for your family. But if you take it back to the very beginning, what really do we have that is ours? What choice did you have in being born in America? Or being born a male? Or being white? Those three things, those are the winning lottery tickets in this world today, I'll tell you. Being a male, being white, and being an American. That opens a lot of doors for a lot of people. Why weren't you born in Africa as a little girl who's going to be sold when she's 13 to someone for a dowry price? Is there something special about you that you were born here with this opportunity? Why were you born with a sound mind? Is there something that you did? I mean, okay, you went to college, you went to university, you got your degree, you built your business. Could you have done that if your mind had not been 100%? Did you do something to make your mind so good? What about your body? A lot of children are born without full use of their body. What did you do that made your body so 100%? It's nothing. It's just a gift of the Lord. We didn't choose our race, we didn't choose our gender, we didn't choose where we were born. All of those things are gifts from the Lord that He's given to us, talents that He's given to us. And yet sometimes we get very selfish with the Lord and say, I've done this. I'm a self-made person. Look at what I've achieved. Well, it's true. You've taken what the Lord has given you and you've achieved something, but we can never forget that the Lord gave us the starting material to begin with. He gave us a sound mind. He gave us a sound body. He allowed us to be born in a place where we had opportunities and freedom and an ability to go to school and exercise the talents that he gave us. Can we trust God with giving these things back to him, with allowing him to use these things for his glory, for his benefit? Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the world is trying to deceive us day after day. The world tries to tell us what things we need to be happy. But it's not true. You know, you turn on the television, it tells you need the newest phone. You need a new car. You need a vacation. You need a new wardrobe. You need to live in a new place. That's not happiness. Because, you know, sometimes we've fallen for those tricks and we've gotten the new phone or the new computer or the new car. And it doesn't make us any happier. When the bill comes, I tell you, I for sure am not happy. Because in my experience, having more money in the bank is better than having less money. That's just my experience. And when the bills come, I have less money. But you know what? All of these things, they're just temporary. The Bible tells us to lay up our treasures in heaven. You know, heaven's coming a lot sooner than we thought. I cannot believe that I'm standing before you today as being 20 years on the mission field. It's gone by just like that. The years come so quickly now, and they're gone so fast. I can't believe it. But you know what? The Lord is ready to come back at any time. Do you realize that? There's really nothing prophetically standing in the way for the Lord to come back at any day. And we'll stand before God. And he'll remind us of the talents that he's given to us, of the blessings that he's bestowed. This great country where we live, where we have all of these opportunities. You know what? I'm proud to say I'm an American. I'm proud to be a veteran of the U.S. Army. I'm proud to be able to do that. But you know what? My relationship with the Lord is more important to me than my nationality. And I'll tell you what, it took me many years to actually say that. Because I was so proud to be an American. And I love my country so much. But you know, the truth is, I'm more proud to be a part of Jesus Christ, to be a part of his body, to be able to represent him. God's given us these blessings, all of these things, and we need to consider how we can use these things for him. Your church is doing a great job in sending missionaries throughout the world so that people all over the world can hear about how God loves them, how Jesus died for them, and how they can have salvation freely by trusting in him. These lessons from the little lad, that God is always in control of whatever situation we find ourselves, that we can be free with the talents that God has given to us, because really they're not our talents at all, and that God wants to do miracles with people just like us. You have a purpose for God. There's a reason why you are in the situation you are in today and why you're here. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose. You might say, well, you know, I'm too young. I haven't finished college yet. God has a purpose for you. You might say, well, I'm busy right now. I've got my family. I've got my job, all of this. I'm being pulled in all these directions. How could God use me? God's got a plan for you. You might say, well, I'm retired. I'm at the end of my life. I'm drawing back. I've got, you know, I've finished my job. I've finished my work. I'm resting now. God has a plan for you. I guarantee you, when God is finished with you on this earth, he'll take you off of it. Until that time, he has a plan. He has a perfect will, and he wants you to know that plan. And if you look for that plan, you'll find it. God wants to use you, and he wants to do great things with you. You don't have to be great and powerful and smart and rich for God to use you. He takes pleasure in taking men, human vessels, weak vessels, and doing something great with them so that he receives the glory for the things that we do. He doesn't need someone who's powerful. He doesn't need someone who has no need of God. He needs somebody who's weak. He needs somebody who has faults, because then when his greatness is shown through them, he receives the glory. True happiness in the life of a Christian, or lessons from the little lad. There's a lot that we can learn here. There's a lot in this Bible that can teach us. And so I hope that you'll take these lessons this morning. I hope that you'll come to this missions conference with an open heart and giving God permission to speak to your heart. You know, sometimes we come to the church with our minds closed, with our decision of what is already going to happen before the pastor even opens his mouth. You know, one of the things that happens in Zambia that pleases me a lot is that when the people arrive at church, the first thing they do before they greet anyone is they go and they sit down and they bow their head in prayer and they ask the Lord to make them ready to receive the message that they're going to have. They try to get rid of all of their thoughts about the coming week, of all of their problems and all that, and they come and they try to prepare themselves for worship so that God can speak to them. They come looking for a blessing. And you know what? When you come looking for a blessing, you find a blessing. When you come not looking for anything, you're not going to find it, because you're not looking for anything. But as you come to the missions conference this week, as you come this evening and Monday evening and Tuesday and Wednesday, come looking for a blessing. Come allowing God to have permission to speak to your heart and to guide you in a direction that he's not guided you before. And I think we can expect great things through the services that we'll have here this week. I pray that the Lord will bless us. I pray that we will become very excited about what the Lord is doing through us for missions around the world. You know, it's a great thing to tell people about Jesus Christ. I see it from the perspective as a missionary, someone who goes from his homeland to another country to share the gospel there. And it's a great thing to talk to someone who's never, ever heard about Jesus Christ and to tell them about how God loves them, how Jesus died for them, and how they can have salvation apart from their good works, apart from their church membership, apart from praying to their ancestors. It's a great thing. And you can have a part of that right here, because God's called all of us to be witnesses. You can have a part in missions, not only in giving, not only in praying, but also in being doing your part in being witnesses here. It's a great thing. You know, I praise the Lord that I'm saved. I hope that you do too. You know, we had our Valentine's Day banquet at our church yesterday. We did it early because that's when the speaker could come in. You know, my wife and I, we've been married, it'll be 21 years this year. And that's not very much compared to some of you. I mean, I know that some of you have been married for a very long time. But you know, when you've been married for a while, sometimes you forget the excitement and the joy that you had when you were first married. It becomes commonplace. It becomes casual. You take your partner for granted. We do that. And you know, it's possible to do that with the Lord too. We forget how great it was when we had that first initial feeling that all of our sin had been forgiven. You know, all it takes is for you to think about where you might be today had you not received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would your family be intact? Would you be alive? Some of us were on a very dark path, and our life would have been very short. We would not have the blessings we have right now. And it does us good sometimes to think about what we have because of Christ. It's an amazing thing to think that when we close our eyes and speak to the Lord, we're right there in his presence, and he wants to hear what we have to say. Think about that. The God of the universe, the creator of the world, wants to hear your concerns. And he cares about you. No matter how small or trivial your concerns are, they're not small or trivial to God. He cares for you. And it's great to be able to take that message of that relationship with our Savior to those around the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time that we could have at Sunday school. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you'll be with all of the classes that are going on throughout the church service today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, help us to be very encouraged and enthused about this job of world missions. Heavenly Father, may we play our part in your plan. And Heavenly Father, may you use us to our best ability. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
Thank you, Andy. Folks, we're dismissed at this time, and the service will start back in here in about 20 minutes.